South Africa's rising electricity prices have pushed the country to the brink of what COSATU is calling today a jobs bloodbath. Tariffs have soared since 2006, hammering energy-intensive industries like smelters. What's the upshot of that? Well, it puts thousands of jobs on the line. Congress of South African Trade Unions is now demanding immediate government intervention, warning that if nothing changes, factories will close. If they're not already, communities will be devastated, and that even strike action is inevitable. COSATU's parliamentary coordinator is Matthew Parks, and he joins me now. Matthew, welcome to you. You've called this a jobs bloodbath. How severe is the crisis then in real numbers, and what jobs are at risk?
Thanks for having us. We think it's devastating, but also to bear in mind that we have an unemployment rate of 43%. We've been sitting at 1% economic growth for the past two decades. We just can't afford to add more people to unemployment queue. But the research we've seen, the stats we've seen from industry, shows that we've lost about 350,000 jobs because of the increasing unaffordable price of electricity, especially the impact upon the industrial sectors and in particular the smelters. We've been engaging with Glencore over the past year. What they've shown to us, or what other companies in the sector have shown to us, it really is a jobs bloodbath. They've closed about half of their smelters. These are largely in rural towns, so that also has a double impact upon an already kind of very limited economic base job opportunities for those communities. And they've, you know, they tried their level best to keep those workers on board, but you know, any company has to have cash flow to maintain cash output, being paid to salaries, etc. So I think for us, we've been raising this for a while. You know, since 2006, when load shedding first entered our vocabulary, electricity prices are estimated to have gone up by over 500%. And there's no wages which have gone up by that rate. There's no amount of economic growth that has gone up by that rate. And so that really is not just a question of those jobs that we've shed, but also those jobs that we could never have created because we've made electricity unaffordable. If you compare the price of electricity in South Africa to that of, you know, China or other industrial economies, we're about four times the rate of electricity into the prices. So for us, again, that's another crisis we've got to address. We have been, you know, pleasantly heartened, so to speak, by the Minister for Electricity, Dr. Ramakgopa's commitments to finding a solution to reduce the price of electricity, especially for the heavy intensive users. We think that needs to be done quickly. And I think there has been a lot of discussions, been meetings with industry, we've had meetings at NEDLAC to say, can we get something in place by, you know, by December? That may come in the form of, you know, reduced electricity tariffs or rebates, etc. Longer term, you do need to deal with the fundamental leakages, which causes Eskom to be dependent upon these double-digit tariff hikes. And that's because, you know, half the customers pay as prepaid, and other half pay when they feel like it. And that's not a sustainable economic model. You know, you can't, no company could sustain that.
Matthew, you talk about being heartened, all well and good, but do you really believe the state at this point has the political will to act decisively on Eskom? And you're talking about the end of the year when it comes to pricing, or maybe just another promise without material delivery?
Look, we have the same skepticism born by year, you know, by years of disappointment. We hope they can do so. If they don't do so, the consequences will be devastating, not just for the employees of Glencore or for the families of the communities, but even the economy at large, the industrial backbone. We're seeing the impact upon many manufacturing plants, many factories. It's something you just can't continue to kick the can down the road. So we want to believe that something can be done, and it needs to be done. I think the shorter-term interventions are perhaps the easier ones, that you can come with some sort of different tariff regime. And there has been lots of engagement and discussion between the ministry, Eskom, industry, and so on. I think the more complex one is a longer-term solution, because you can put in place a temporary 6-month, 24-month, for example, plan to say you reduce it by this amount, etc., or we give you this types of tax rebates, for example. But you ultimately need to deal with the financial leakages. You know, if you look at the past 5 years, municipal debt owed to Eskom has more than doubled from about 40 billion rand to 95 billion rand just in 5 years. And that just shows you how vulnerable we are to it. So you've got to deal with the hard issues. And that is the much more difficult type of work, which is moving everybody to prepaid.
I take your point on cutting tariffs, but I would suggest to you that it's a big demand. How do you see that being financed in a fiscally constrained environment such as exists right now?
It's a difficult one, and you're right, because if you cut rebates, how do you plug the hole at Eskom? If you give tax rebates through Treasury, Where do you then massage the book, so to speak, going elsewhere? But I think we also had to look at the longer term implication. Yes, there'll be a hit in terms of tax revenue or in terms of electricity revenue in the short space, but in the longer term, you'll save these industries, you'll save these jobs in these local communities. And I think we've got to take a longer approach. But also, to be fair to industry, to be fair to society, it's not society or industry who said we must mismanage Eskom, we must neglect infrastructure investments, and so forth. The state isn't innocent in this regard. In fact, to be honest, they are largely to blame with the corrupt elements who came on board. So we don't have a choice. We're seeing many other industries, including the motor manufacturing sector, the clothing industry, really vulnerable to this issue. Similar with the mining sector. So if you don't deal with the longer term vision, you're not going to resolve it. So I think for us, we don't have a luxury of choosing whether or not to do it. We have to do it.
So a bitter pill to swallow for all parties concerned, I'd suggest. So is COSATU then prepared to support alternative solutions, maybe downsizing Eskom or even attracting private capital to make lower tariffs more economically viable?
So, I mean, we put on board, even since 2019 with our Eskom Social Compact, a variety of options to reduce Eskom generation costs. We had proposed that time already, and it's begun to be done, to shift staff, especially management, from the head office to the plants where the real engine is. We've also continued to push to allow Eskom to enter the renewable energy space to help reduce its own generation costs. And of course, we continue to push that more must be done by law enforcement to tackle the corruption, the vandalism, the cable theft, which are a huge part of the leakages at Eskom.
But none of
I
those are
think
short-term solutions, are they?
they're all long-term solutions, and we've got to deal with it, to be honest. And these are not easy things. And the major long-term solution we have to do, again, is to harp on it. We've got to move towards a prepaid electricity meter system. So these are all long-term solutions. Our short-term solution, which we had managed to get achieved, was the debt relief package for Eskom, the 253 billion rand. But again, that's only sustainable if you deal with the longer-term, much more hard issues. If you don't deal with them, in 5 years' time, Eskom will need another debt relief package, and that's something the fiscus can't afford. It could do it once off, it couldn't do it every year. So for us, ultimately, this is going to have to be about biting the bullet. We've got to deal with it, and that means we've got to, show some political will. We've had complaints about Eskom workers, municipal workers going out to communities, trying to disconnect illegal connections and getting their lives threatened with, as a consequence. So we also have to see support from the police, for example, to do that. It does require society too also to come to the party and, abide by the basic principles of the rule of law. If you want electricity, you've got to pay for it. But also, we have to be smart about it. There is the high levels of poverty and so forth. And we've seen in many municipalities, the free allocation of water and electricity to indigent households has been quietly deleted by municipalities, and they abandoned, etc. If more of us paid, it means we could not only reinstate that free electricity and water where it's been forgotten, but actually increase the amounts. So I think for us, this is about the longer term things. We've done the short term things like debt relief, etc., appointing competent management and so forth. Now we've got to start dealing with the harder issues, but
All
those
right.
are the fundamental
I
solutions.
just need a quick answer to this. If government fails to act, what is your next move? How much pressure are you prepared to apply?
Well, our next step would be through NEC to do a Section 77 certificate, which is a strike certificate. We've already put in place some of those motions, which has helped to unlock NEDLAC engagements. Ultimately, that's always our port of last resort, but we have to have it as a plan B to push government to come with a solution. We just don't have the luxury of giving up on this fight, not when so many jobs are at stake.
COSATU's parliamentary coordinator is Matthew Parks. Thank you very much indeed.